Hello, and welcome to the Autodidactic Podcast with your host, Rick Dearman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show. This is Episode 8, Season 1 of the Autodidactic Podcast. Today, we're going to discuss textbook highlighting. If you're new to the show, I'd like to welcome you, and if you're returning, I'd like to welcome you back. As always, I really enjoy getting feedback for the show, so if you're interested in giving me some feedback, then you can email me at rick@autodidactic.info, and you can make comments on the website as well. I generally upload the show notes and the transcription of the show there, and that address is autodidactic.info. Why should you mark up your textbooks? Well, when you do it correctly, textbook marketing promotes active reading, it condenses the material for later review, it increases your comprehension, and it serves as a little mini comprehension monitoring system. So, the first part, active reading. By marking up your textbook as you read, you achieve a higher level of concentration, and knowing that you should mark specific sections as you read, it keeps you alert. It keeps you alert and gives you a purpose for reading. So to mark your text effectively, you have to think about the contents of the chapter. You constantly need to make decisions about what's important and what isn't. And then you condense the material. And because you're highlighting the important areas, there's no need to read the entire section again when you review it, and you only need to review the highlighted areas. Increased comprehension comes because you're identifying and marking the main points and then looking for supporting details to help you understand the text. When you're highlighting, you're effectively reading it twice because your eyes will follow the marker and reinforce the reading. And feedback on comprehension is because highlighting also monitors your comprehension, and it gives you feedback on if you're paying attention to the material or not. If you're highlighting everything, it means that you're not looking for the most important information and making decisions about what or what is not important. And if you haven't highlighted anything in the section, it means that you haven't understood it well enough or that you're distracted while you're reading. So how do you go about marking up your textbook? Well, the two main methods are either underlining or marking with a pencil, or highlighting with a highlighter pen. Now, you can use either, but I would recommend that you use the highlighter since this forces you to read a second time. Now, you might think that you get the same effect with underlining with a pencil, but studies have shown that people that underline with a pencil tend to look at the pencil line they're creating rather than the words that they're underlining. Highlighting doesn't have this disadvantage. Before you underline or highlight anything, you need to have completely read the section. And then after you've read the section, have a little think about which parts were important, and then go back and find those areas and then highlight them. Don't mark anything until you've completed the section. So if you start marking straight away, then you might mark something important, which actually isn't. In addition, marking while reading interferes with your comprehension. When you do start marking, make sure to highlight in the direction the text is going to force your eyes to do a second reading. Don't highlight the text backwards. And you should also try and use a soft shade to highlight, like yellow or pink. And this is mainly because highly fluorescent colors tend to cause eye strain when you go back to do a review later. When marking, mark up sentences where possible. Then if you're highlighting keywords, then you need to use some linking to connect them together. So while you're marking, just try to remember to mark things in a way that they'll make sense to you when you review them in a month or 6 months from now. And this is why it's better to mark meaningful phrases instead of just words. I recommend you only do highlighting, but don't throw the pencil away just yet. While you're marking up the textbook, use your pencil to make notes in the margin. Mark margin notes with areas where you disagree with the author, or put a question mark if you need more information about a particular point. You can use margin notes to make summary of keywords and create this linking effect that I talked about earlier. But don't overuse margin notes. You defeat the object of highlighting if you're creating huge summaries in the margins. When you're highlighting, remember the KISS rule. Keep it simple, stupid. K-I-S-S. Now, diversity is great, but not when it comes to text highlighting. You've probably seen people who have like 10 different color highlighters, and they have one color for a fact, and one for an opinion, and one for a keyword, and a different color for examples, etc., etc., etc. I'd advise against this. It makes you think more about the coloring than the content. And using two colors is really the maximum. But the best is to just have one. If you're using a used textbook, which already has been highlighted, make sure you use a different color for your highlights. This might be difficult if the previous owner was a multiple color highlighter, but you should try and make sure that your highlighting is distinguished from anyone else's. Now, another time-consuming exercise in futility is multi-symbol marking. And this is where people underline or double underline, or they circle it, or they put brackets, or they use asterisks. And the idea here is that you have a set of symbols you use to encode the review material. Now, this is time-consuming and often leads to overmarking of the text. And you also spend too much time thinking about the system rather than the content. A simple system will help focus on the important information without the distraction of trying to remember all the various symbols or color combinations and what they mean. So now that we've discussed how to mark, the next step is to figure out what to mark. At some point in the past when reading a book, you've probably thought to yourself, I wonder if I should mark this. And until you become experienced at marking, it's probably better to mark too much than too little. Now, there's no real set of rules about what you should mark, but headings, subheadings, the main ideas, important details, definitions, examples, and statistics are all important. And they may not necessarily be identified by bold or italic print. So let's just briefly go through some good practice guidelines for marking up the information. The first thing is to mark headers. It's very likely that the headings of the text are important, since typically they are the summary of the most important idea in the section to follow. And then mark the main ideas of the section. Main ideas are the general statements that the author makes about the topic. And the main idea statement or topic sentence is normally found in the first or second sentence of the paragraph. Sometimes authors don't directly state the main ideas, they just imply them. However, with practice, you'll be able to look for these main ideas, even the implied ones. And you'll probably want to write the implied idea in your margin notes. Focus on the supporting details. Look for definitions, examples, facts, statistics, signal words, etc. You should absolutely highlight definitions and maybe even load them into an SRS spaced repetition program in order to learn them off by heart. Look through the examples and highlight where the example is illuminating an idea. Lists or enumerations, like definitions, should almost always be highlighted since they contain an itemized list of information. Facts or statistics are also worth highlighting because they'll typically support the main idea. Some important information is found outside the regular body of the text. You need to read and mark any definitions for technical terms, even if they're in the sort of left-hand margin. And don't omit information included in charts or graphs or other diagrams. Information under photos, such as footnotes or in boxed features, are also important for your understanding of the material. For math or science books, make sure to highlight all formulas as well as any problems that you want to review. Make sure that you mark the text material that explains or discusses formulas or problems. The prose material is as important, or perhaps even more important, than the problems themselves. And finally, it's probably worth highlighting negation words like but, however, on the other hand, conversely, etc., etc. This is because they're showing a change in the author's direction in this area. So you'll need to highlight them in order to avoid confusion later when you're reviewing it. So now we know how to mark and what to mark, but how much should we mark? Well, the correct answer is just enough. But what does that mean? Well, firstly, you don't want to overmark, since this will lengthen your review time. And if you highlight everything, you might as well just read the book again. You need to be actively looking for important ideas and information. However, being overly concerned with overmarking can lead to another problem, which is undermarking. Marking too little means you're probably only marking the headlines or keywords, but you should also be highlighting related details. You might miss important information by trying to pick out only one or two important things in a paragraph. You may have heard or read that you should mark only one point in each paragraph, or that you shouldn't mark more than 20% of the words on a page. And while these are probably good rules of thumbs, actually you need to mark all the information that you need in order to understand and retain all the important information. Now, both overmarking and undermarking are a problem, and just like Goldilocks, you'll need to find the one that's just right. So let's talk about your reviews and remarking. So after you've marked your textbook, the next time you're going to review it, don't leave your highlighter behind. Pick a second color for your second review. So previously I recommended you only use one color when you highlight, but this time you're not highlighting, you're re-highlighting, and therefore you need to use a different color from the first time. So the idea here is that if you have to remark the material, you are once again engaged and actively reading it. And as you reread the marked sections, you can determine whether or not the information is important enough to review again. The first time you read the chapter, everything was new to you. At that time, many things may have seemed important. And after having completed the chapter and worked through the test questions or the study guide, or you read or listened to other materials or books, you should be able to reduce the text material even more. One really good method of review is to generate a mock examination from the information on a separate sheet of paper. What you don't want to do is make multiple choice questions, since this might lead you to remembering incorrect information. So write a broad question for each heading or subheading, and then as many specific questions as you can to create your own test or examination. And this is what you do for your second remarking session. Now, after your review, have a think about your markings. Did they make sense? Did you mark all of the important information the first time around? Did the markings retain and contain the meaning of each section? In other words, was it helpful for you to review them, and did it have all the stuff you needed to know? So by giving yourself feedback on your markings, it'll help you in your future markings, and you'll get better at it as you go along. Now, for an autodidactic, there probably isn't going to be a test or examination in your future. So you're reviewing the books periodically and having a well-thought-out set of markings to reduce the time you need to review in order to retain the important information. So this is the sort of thing that you want as an autodidactic, is to be able to get this book and go straight to the important information that you require. Okay, so that's it for today. Thanks for listening, and I'm glad you joined me. Next week, we're going to talk about lecture notes. And I hope you'll join me for that podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Autodidactic Podcast with your host, Rick Dearman. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider giving a donation via PayPal. Thank you very much, and see you again next time.